The brazen serpent. The Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 8. The wickedness of Israel in the wilderness is almost unbelievable to us, did we not know the innate vileness of our own hearts. The rebellion recorded here is not the first rebellion, but rather the eighth. Their souls loathed the manna from heaven, which was a sweet type of Christ to come, verse 5. And as in previous times, God's wrath is revealed against such ingratitude and ungodliness. Therefore we read in verse 6, The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. There was poison in the bite, and death was a certain consequence. Multitudes fell in the wilderness and were buried in its desert wastes. Now, these fiery, the people of Israel, as a redeemed people, they were protected from such fiery serpents in the wilderness by the cloud about them. But when they had sinned again and had become rebellious against the Lord, then the Lord suffered these fiery serpents to come among them and to punish them. They are called fiery, probably because of their color, either a golden color or in some cases red and scarlet color. And they are also called fiery serpents from the effect of them. Exciting heat and thirst sometimes in those they bit, and causing the people to burn with the poison of their teeth. Now, these were probably flying ones, as may seem from Isaiah 14:29, and being sent of God, might come flying among the people to bite them. And so they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Their bites were altogether incurable, and their poison was so quick that death followed shortly afterwards. And therefore, this was God's punishment because of sin. Now look at the brazen serpent. The plan of healing, following their cry to God for a mercy seat, for mercy, was a God-given plan. Moses was commanded to make a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, then when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That is verse 9. Make thee a fiery serpent, not a real one, but the likeness of one. One that should very much resemble the fiery serpents with which Israel had been bitten. And set it up upon a pole, a standard, an ensign, that is on a high place, lift it up, so it might be seen by all in the camp. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live, which is very wonderful. That by looking to the figure of a serpent, men should be cured of the bites of real ones, and which bites were deadly. The virtue of healing could not come from the figure, but from God, who appointed it to be made. And if a person would direct his heart to that lifted up serpent, then he would live. And this, of course, is to teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ whose lifting up was a figure, is God's means of healing. John 3 and verse 14. So as we look back at the ancient figure, there was life for a look. All they had to do was to look. All that God required was a look of faith. This applied to all, no matter whether they were learned or unlearned, rich or poor, old or young. There was no other means of healing. It mattered not who they were, or how far or near they were to the lifted up serpent. There was perfect and instantaneous cure when they trustfully looked to what was God's plan for saving them. This is yet another glorious type of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, in speaking to Nicodemus, you remember, took up this type and said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3, 14 and 15. This is the remedy of God. Well, first of all, perhaps we need to look at the need of man. Our lives are in peril. We all have been bitten by that old serpent, the devil. His poison has been injected into our veins. Its venom is fatal. We must die. We cannot help or heal ourselves. We cannot be healed by looking at some religious leader, or by believing time and nature have some healing balm, or that we may be healed if we deny self and work sacrificially to help others, or if we try to fight our own battles and slay the serpents before they bite. It cannot be done. The law can only diagnose the disease. It tells us that we have surely been poisoned. It traces the venom's course in our bloodstream. But the law has no cure. It must leave us to perish. Nor can another of Adam's race afford help, for all have been bitten and have the same affliction. Nor can religious rites and ceremonies and performances suck out the deadly poison. Unless God helps us, we must surely perish in this world's wilderness. Now look at the God-given remedy. God's remedy is in this lifted up serpent which pointed to the lifted up and crucified Son of God on Calvary's cross. Only God could provide relief, and he sent that relief in his beloved Son. Never let us forget to praise the Father for sending his Son, and to bless his name for the instant relief provided in his Son. But the price of the healing balm is too vast for us to comprehend. It meant that the Son of God must descend from heaven's glory to assume the likeness of men. In that new humanity of his, he would have to stoop into the mystery of death and be lifted up on a cruel cross to hang as the anti-type of Moses' brazen serpent. He was to be lifted up so that he would be conspicuous in his death, and so to be seen by all men everywhere. It is because of who he is that a remedy could be prepared. In him, every divine attribute and every human virtue combine and work together so that from those wounds of the cross there is merit to expiate all man's transgressions and heal all his wounds. All that remains for man to do is to look at him, Christ, and him crucified. It is no more than that, but no less than that. The look must be one of wholehearted faith and trust, believing that this is God's remedy, that it is sure and certain, that it is effectual for every person, regardless of how far the poison may have progressed in its course. There is no other means of healing. The rich must look, for riches cannot save. The poor must look, for poverty cannot pity a poisoned state. The intellectual must look, for the human intellect cannot devise a means of help. The ignorant and unlearned must look, for ignorance cannot write a prescription for so deadly an affliction. The word of God is very clear to all. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. We are here gathered around this remembrance feast to remember his being lifted up, and that we might renew our gaze and feel again the gratitude of his healing power. Listen to the words of Horatius Bonner. No, not despairingly, come I to thee. No, not distrustingly, bend I the knee. Sin hath gone over me, yet this is still my plea. Jesus hath died. Ah, mine iniquity, crimson hath been, infinite, infinite, sin upon sin. Sin of not loving thee, sin of not trusting thee, infinite sin. Faithful and just art thou, forgiving all. Loving and kind art thou when poor ones call. Lord, let the cleansing blood, blood of the Lamb of God, pass o'er my soul. Precious. Amen and amen.